According to this verse, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Because of Jesus Christ, we do not have to stay in the hole. Praise the Lord. There's not a hole too deep that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse us from. Well, the Sherwin contacted me about a week and a half ago and asked me about this service. My mind went to some thoughts and I started developing that, but it didn't get very far. Sunday morning, in our Sunday morning, while studying for the Sunday school class, I was impressed by some verses in Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2. And I guess I need to turn to that. You may also turn there. These are introducing the thought that I have this evening. And this was, and it just mentions about the angel. There was given me a rod, a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. And I was struck with that because one of the questions, we did not get to it in the adult class, but one of the questions related to what that verse, that thought of measuring. And I was impressed with how it says, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. What does that mean? The title of the message is, how do I measure up? How do I measure up? And that's what prompted my thoughts. This verse is what prompted my thoughts down that line. How do I measure up? And there's other places in the Bible. This was measuring the temple of God. I'm not sure exactly what all is in focus here, the altar. It does seem like there's a physical temple, a physical altar that John was supposed to measure. Also in Ezekiel 40, the angel told, or the Spirit told Ezekiel to go measure the new Jerusalem, the new temple, not Jerusalem, the new temple. And he did that, and it gives account of measuring this and measuring that. And also Zechariah 2 mentions it. But my thought is this evening, God has a measuring stick. How do I measure up? You know, not sometimes. We all measure ourselves. I'm not talking about backing up to the wall and putting a ruler up on top and making a mark. But we do measure ourselves. We measure ourselves by comparing ourselves to others sometimes, what others think. That's a way we measure ourselves. That's pretty important. Sometimes we measure ourselves by the standard of our neighbor. Sometimes we measure ourselves by what the church requires, what the brotherhood requires. Sometimes we measure ourselves by what our parents require. In other words, if I'm just doing well enough that my friends don't wonder if there's something wrong, I'm okay. If I'm just doing well enough that my neighbor doesn't get disturbed, I'm okay. If I'm just doing well enough that, well, you can continue the thought. But some of these measurements are not wrong. We are concerned about our brotherhood. We are concerned about our neighbors. We are concerned about what others think. But how should we measure our lives? Well, I think you know where I'm going with this. Number one, the most important thing, obviously, God's word. The example of Jesus Christ. The gentle voice of the Spirit. If we're not measuring our lives by God's word this evening, we're coming out wrong. You may turn with me to Psalm 139. We are all blessed this evening. I'm looking down as I gave out a reference, and I see Bibles opening and Bibles pages turning. We have God's word. We have an excellent standard. We have an excellent measuring stick. It is superb. It is like none other. It is all that we need. It is the solid rock. Appreciated that song. Psalm 139, and maybe your mind went to this as we considered council service. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read some of these verses, maybe not make a lot of comments. I'll try to keep this short. The Lord, verses 1 through 6, let's read first of all. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. As we read this, get a picture of the measuring. God knows our thoughts. He's measuring our thoughts. He knows our down sitting and uprising. I'm not sure what that refers to. Possibly waking in the morning and going to sleep at night. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. God knows it all. God, this standard, this measuring stick, has it all. You know, sometimes there's tape measures that wear out. You know how it is, the first couple inches, what gets used the most, the standard gets missing, it gets erased, it gets lost, and you have to do some guessing. But we don't have to guess this evening. And I look in verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. And this is a common theme throughout the scriptures. I did a little bit of searching on that. I'm not sure if it's in Psalm 139. I was thinking maybe it was, but it's mentioned numerous times about the reins. Now, if the reins is translated word by word, it's translated into kidneys. That's what it literally means. But what it figuratively means, or what it really is trying, the thought is, for thou hast possessed my emotions, my intellect, my will. Who you really are. Thou hast possessed my reins. God knows all about us. God knows all about our emotions. God knows all about our intellect. God knows what we're thinking of doing. God knows where we were this past week. God knows where we will be. We should measure our lives by God's word because He knows all about us. And we should also measure our lives, number two. This is not quite as important as God's word, but by the agreed upon standard of brotherhood. We call them the decrees. I believe this is also something that we measure our lives by. Now, the decrees is a biblical term. It's found in Acts. But it is not, we do not, that does not mean it is God's word. We do not elevate the decrees to God's word. But do we respect and obey them? And I share this analogy. Pick a Fortune 500 company, make yourself an employee, and then obey the company's standards and bylaws like you do the decrees. Would you get fired? Somehow there's a disconnect, I think, in our minds sometimes between the ability that we go to stand behind our company And yet, when it comes to following this company, we get a little slack. So I want to give you that encouragement this evening. I needed it. I need it too. We agree upon a standard, and then we need to follow it. Bible examples of those who are measured by God, we can think of Belshazzar. Daniel 5, verse 27 says, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." You can remember that story. You can remember Belshazzar and his party spirit and his all that was going on in the kingdom. But God had weighed him in the balance. God had weighed, actually, maybe more correctly, the whole kingdom of Babylon in the balance and found it wanting. God was measuring it. God had his rule of standard up against Babylon and said, "You are found wanting." I also thought of David in 1 Samuel 16, where they were looking for a king. And God told Samuel to go to the house of David's father. And his name slipped my mind right now. I don't have it on my notes. But he went, go to this house and look for one of his sons. And I have chosen him. But Samuel went, and you know, he looked, and he just couldn't find him. He got to the end of the list. But God saw as not man. For the Lord, verse 7 says, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And the Lord is looking at our hearts this evening. The God is measuring our hearts. And David is there's many thoughts in Psalms, and if you still have your Bibles open to 139, you can go to the end of the chapter. Verses 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's a prayer that David had, and that's a prayer that we need to be praying. Just at council services? I don't think so. Search me, O God. It should be a daily prayer as we come to him. That we have, maybe we don't always utter these words, but we have this spirit within us of God, show me today what I need, how I measure up. Know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. That word wicked means more the thought of pain or grief. And I wasn't sure what to think of that as I read it with that in thought in mind. But I'm not sure if I understand it all. But hopefully we're not looking, as you're measuring your heart this evening, you're not thinking about the wickedness you did this week. If you did, God can give you forgiveness. You can be cleansed of that. But more often, maybe what we struggle with is relating to pain or grief that we have. The hurts that we encounter, misunderstandings or adjusting our lives to a roadblock that God puts in our lives. And it brings us anguish, or brings us pain. It brings us mental grief, and maybe there's things that happened many years ago. But what I want to say is that this unresolved things, these whatever they are, can lead to sinful responses. I don't know if that's what's in focus here, but I had to think about that. Let's allow the measuring stick of his word to reach deep into our hearts this evening. You know, and while we're on this thought, I also had Job 31, 6 written down here. And we know the story of Job. And if there was ever a man that could be excused for his struggling to understand God and what God was telling him and what God was allowing into his life, if there ever was, I don't know that there was a better example of someone who struggled with God. But he says, and Job says in 31:6, "Let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity." That's a similar thought to David's thought here, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Let me be weighed in an even balance. You know, sometimes it just does not seem even. Life does not seem even, and we struggle with relating to pain and grief. But God is there. God is through it all, measuring us, preparing us. And he will, there will be a way. How do I know that I'm measuring correctly? And we mentioned this thought before, but God knows. God knows all about us. Revelation 2:23. This is one of the churches. I'm not sure which one. "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." God knows this evening. God knows how we're measuring up. We can hide it from others. We can put on a front, but God knows. We can try to change the increments. We can try to adjust the standards to fit us rather than adjust our lives to fit the standard. But God knows. For the word, Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Holy Spirit is faithful to let us know. Answering the question of how do I know I'm measuring correctly? The Holy Spirit is faithful. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. John 16:13, "He will show you things to come," Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will bring things to your mind to let us know that we are measuring correctly. But then, you know, it's up to us. We have a responsibility. When the Spirit speaks about something back there that we need to take care of, may we be faithful in talking to the brother, in talking to our spouse, in talking to our children. How do I know I'm measuring correctly? Our families know. We need to be open to our families. If our families, those closest to us are afraid to approach us, we may not be measuring correctly. And our brotherhood. This is the beauty of brotherhood this evening. The brotherly, what we mentioned sometimes called the brotherly or brotherhood address. It just simply means you may address things in my life. And that is what we want. But it's so hard sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for us to give the address if we feel like we need to. And then it's hard to receive it. And that brother doesn't understand. It takes humility to have an open brotherhood relationship. It takes humility to have our spouses or our families be able to come to us. Why do we measure ourselves is the next point. The Bible commands it. 1 Corinthians 11:28. I think I want to turn to that. This is familiar, very familiar verses. 1 Corinthians 11:28. This is right in the context of the Apostle Paul giving direction to the Corinthians concerning the Lord's Supper or the communion. But these, I'm pulling out two verses here. I'm not going to read all of it, maybe verses 27 through 29. This relates more directly to this evening. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, body, and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. These are difficult verses. They're very concise verses. However, they're very clear. And may we take them to heart. The Bible commands it. Let a man examine himself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 also says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. This is a Bible command to examine ourselves. Now, let's take a little bit of a side here. We need checkups in our physical lives. Checkups, they say, are necessary for good health. Actually, if you're ages 30 to 40, you should have a physical checkup every 2 years. If you're age 50 and over, you should have a checkup every year. So, and especially, and if you have a special conditions, you should have more regular checkups. A physically challenged person needs regular checkups. But I want to tell you, I want to remind you this evening that we're all spiritually challenged. And we all are battling this problem called sin in the sinful nature. Our tendency is to go downhill. We need checkups. Why do we measure ourselves? Because we serve a holy God. There can be no sin in the presence of God this evening. Let's get that clear in our minds. God and sin do not relate. What mockery to come into the presence of God commemorating the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. That event that enabled the blood of Jesus to take away sin. I'm talking about the communion service. And this is still relating back to these verses in 1 Corinthians 11:27 to 29. What mockery to come to communion where we're commemorating the suffering and death of Jesus Christ and that blood that was shed that washes away our sins when we have sin with us. When it's untaken care of. When it's not taken care of. What mockery. And I think if we understand that, we understand then this thought of eating and drinking unworthily. But who among us is perfect? And I'm sure that you've had that thought already. Am I really ready for communion? If we allow our minds to go back, we can think of many things, many areas where we went wrong, each one of us. Are we eating and drinking unworthily? I don't understand all these words exactly, but I did do some checking on definitions. Damnation is maybe not quite what we always think about it. I think what he's saying there, we will need to answer. We will need to be brought before judgment is the correct understanding of the word damnation there. Your Bibles might even have a note there. Being brought before, we will need to answer. And another word here is unworthily. That word unworthily is an adverb, not an adjective. And I don't want to get too deep into this. I notice some of you are very tired. Maybe I should read verse 30 yet, but I guess I won't. You can look at it. But who among us is perfect? And we think about how unworthily we are. Okay, back to this thought of eating and drinking, of the unworthily being an adverb, not an adjective. It's not referring to the occasion itself. Verse 29, eating and drinking. It goes back, I think if you study it carefully, it seems to be pointing back to an experience of life. We do fail. But is our heart condemning us at the moment? Is our heart condemning us? Have you dealt with known sin? Have I dealt with known sin? Is it confessed and under the blood and repented of? Or is it lingering there? And that's the thought. It has a thought with a present condition. The unworthily is an adverb relating directly to the eating and drinking. I'm not sure if I made that clear or not, but it's a little bit confusing. But we have to, there is a provision. The blood of Jesus Christ, if we confess our sins, and we make restitution, it's under the blood, it's repented of, and we can be worthy to participate and eat and drink without bringing ourselves before judgment. Is my life on a trajectory toward God, or is it turning away from God? Why do we measure ourselves? Last point, we might as well get used to it now, because someday we will give an account to God. God will ask us for our measurements, even though he already knows. He knows all about us. But he will ask us for our measurements. Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." And I want to leave with that thought. Well, there's one more thought. I want to close with close with a verse in Ephesians 4, verse 13. And I like the book of Ephesians. And I know this maybe has been a somewhat negative message I didn't intend it to be that way necessarily, but I want to close with a positive thought. Ephesians 4:13. Let's keep Jesus Christ central. I appreciated that about Sherwin's devotions and the solid rock. Let's keep Christ central as we anticipate, look forward to communion till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be perfect men and women, brothers and sisters, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. May I let that with you. God bless you. And God bless the remainder of the service.